search. Each man different, living his own way, searching, discovering numero uno.
Hey everyone, and welcome to another episode of Broken by Concept. We've got Nathan Mott and we've got Coach Curtis here today. Episode 171. Now, we're a solo cube podcast.
We love solo cube.
We are
best
pro solo cube
in the world. Love solo cube. League of Legends. We love Riot Games.
Yep. And I got linked this video, and the title, you know, interested. It intrigued me, and it's titled "Solo Cube Must Die."
How could that not intrigue us, Curtis?
I'm like, okay, well, you know, as on the BBC, we love solo cube, and apparently it must die. So there's something worth investigating here.
Absolutely. Okay? We're the number one solo queue educational and motivational podcast.
Now, what's interesting is that this piece of content was actually released by the Score Esports channel. Now, this is a big channel. It's got 2.1 million subscribers. They've got a big voice in the gaming industry. And so it's not like we're picking on the little guy here or anything like that. This is a big channel. And because of the amount of views the video had, and because of the amount of people that sent it to us, we thought it warranted a bit of a reaction.
It's our responsibility, Curtis. It really is.
We have a responsibility.
This is what we do with our case studies. We've done this with that gold play. We've done that with Nice.
Yep.
This is what the podcast is about. Dismantling narratives, helping people understand the game. And remember, it's not just to be like the defending. We're trying to get people to understand the beauty in the game that we see ourselves, that we enjoy, why we love this as a competitive hobby.
And I want to just preface this by saying it's a trigger warning here. I'm just warning for the people who are long-term BBC listeners, there's a lot in this episode that is going to be quite triggering. So just be warned, if you're trying to have a lovely, peaceful day, this one might not be for you, okay?
And we have to apologize to our long-term BBC listeners that are sick of hearing this stuff.
I know.
That already understands, like, yes, Nathan Curtis, I've been listening to 150 episodes. I know all this stuff. I've heard this from a community. I block out all the noise, all the shit. We've got to tackle this again, because we view it as our responsibility for this podcast.
Me and Nathan are on the front line.
We're on the front line. We're back. We're on the front line. Big time.
We're 2v9ing this one.
All of our BBC listeners and all the people in our programs that are loving the process stuff, they're like sitting in, let's say we're back in, you know, World War One. Like, they're all just sitting in, like, you know, Australia and stuff, you know, just chilling and stuff. They got, like, they're, you know, like, and we're in Europe just busting our balls.
Yep. All right, so you want to start this one?
Let's get some more stats about this video, because I think it's important. So this video is only a day old from when we're recording this podcast. It has almost 50,000 views, so the views are going to be climbing. We've got 600 comments and 2,000 likes. So again, this is not a video that has been unseen by a lot of people. A lot of people have been seeing this, even saying, yes, we support this. Mm. We'll go through the comments after the reaction.
Beautiful.
So we'll get started here. In just a moment, and I was gonna say, away we go.
Get rid of solo queue. For too long, Riot's refusal to let the League community just play ranked with their friends has turned the game mode into a lonely, toxic hellscape in which communication is constantly being limited. And for what? Just so you can say that you earned your rank all by yourself? Look, I have a ton of thoughts on this, and presumably so do you, so let's iron them.
Let's just start with, there's a lot even now, right? Yep. Straight away, boom, right off the bat, right? Right? I love that sentence, just so you can say that you've earned the rank by yourself. Yes, I think that is one of the best things about solo queue. The fact that it is undisputable. That I did it, no one else, no one boosted me, I didn't play with someone else, it is undisputable, I earned my spot on the rank, and I know clearly where I am comparatively to everyone else on my server.
I put in this effort, this is where that effort has led me to. People hitting their ranked goals, you know, people talk about, you know, how their ranked goals, a lot of people writing to this podcast about how, wow, I'm actually know how to learn. I'm learning how to learn. I was never really good at something in the past, and League's actually taught me these things. And let's go back to our challenger, Soros, that video that we did. He said that he actually didn't even really care about the rank himself of him getting to challenger after 10 years. I'll link that episode, reference that episode here on the YouTube. He was talking about how it's just the fact that he's able to put his mind effort to and get a result. That's actually the bigger one. That's what we talk about. The rank is just, yeah, it's just a little number thing. No one probably really cares, but it's for yourself. Mm.
And what I like about solo queue specifically is that, again, if I put in the work, no one can take that away from me, right? I know there's a skill that needs to be developed. We're all on a level playing field here. There's no one, there's not like a few people over there doing Masterclass. And there's no pre-maze. They're playing groups of three, groups of four, groups of five. And so we're all solo or duo, right? Well, you can theoretically still play with a friend, right? You can still theoretically duo queue all the way to master. But, you know,
That's very rare.
A lot of people don't even duo.
No, like, they don't, yeah.
Not very common because it just ends up in disaster.
Yeah.
Well, not for long periods of time anyway. So, yes, I think that is a very important point. That's what we love about League, the fact that it is all on you.
Out once and for all. Okay, so we all know that in just about any team-oriented esports, ranked is just about the most miserable player experience anyone can have. Solo queue is, in no uncertain terms, the principal cause of virtually every grievance anyone has ever had with any ranked system ever. I'm serious. Whether your teammates are bad, rude, idiotic, inting, or actual bigots, the one commonality they all share is this. They weren't your first choice.
Okay.
So, when I always hear people say this, you know, what do they want?
What do they want? What are they looking for? Let's take the first part of that, right?
Okay.
That apparently the ranked experience in every esports title is the worst experience in every game. I would actually argue that it's the complete opposite. Every title that has had a poor rank system has actually not worked. Guild Wars 2 is the prime example of that, right? Guild Wars 2 was the most hyped game, had this great single player, had all this amazing stuff.
Everyone said it was going to be the World of Warcraft killer, and that's me coming from my background. All the top PvPers went over to Guild Wars 2, and everyone was actually just waiting out for ArenaNet to add the system. The top guild, I mean, you guys can actually just all search this up if you're curious. Team Paradigm. If one person actually knows Team Paradigm, I'll be very surprised. They made a full statement and quit because they just weren't given the support to the PvP. And the competitive hardcore player base was there begging for it. And we were never given it.
Never gave it a proper rank system. And then the game died. The PvP scene completely died. And basically the game died following that, basically. And you know, the title that actually has what made League such a popular game.
That's right. If ranked was not as it was, it would not be as
if ranked was, if solo queue, we'll kind of touch on this later on as well. If Riot kept dynamic queue from season 6, the game would be complete. It'd be a shit show. There'd be so many less players. And that's the reality. The reality is that the rank system is what makes the game because there is no other way to differentiate one skill then.
Yeah. The competitive system would collapse. The LoL esport would collapse. You wouldn't even know who the best players are.
How do you determine who the best player is?
All the best players are pulled from the top of the ladder. It's always funny how...
It's a strange, strange take.
Yeah. How we can say that it's the word when it's actually the complete opposite is by far the best thing that games can do. And a lot of... one of the big things... What was it from... I can't remember a game that... That was just, was it the Overwatch or Valorant? Something around, they were really trying hard to get the rank system right.
Right.
That was an important part of what they were doing. Potentially
Valorant, I can't remember that. You know what's interesting, got reminded of here is that, remember we had someone write in from Wild Rift, and they were literally complaining that the rank system in Wild Rift was so bad that they had to move to League because everyone was elo inflated.
And they're pandering to the
casuals. They're pandering through the casuals. Yes. They're giving everyone LP. Everyone have LP. Yeah. I think, didn't he say you didn't really lose barely anything if you lost, but that you gained plus 30 if you won? So everyone was getting diamond and everyone was getting high ranks. And so the competitive integrity of the game essentially, you know, diminished. And so it lost its competitive integrity to a lot of people. And hence, I'd literally come back to League in seek of a game with competitive integrity. And the list goes on. Other ranked titles, we'll get into this later, but you know, League probably has the best rank system of any game.
By far. Yes.
By far.
Yeah.
Not even and close. We can kind of get into that later, why that's the case.
I'm already getting vibes already from what's that thing? It doesn't sound like he's coming from a competitive standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's always important to see where these people are talking to. And I think this is why, again, I could already see a lot of people are getting behind this video. You know, these are the casual
players,
the very, very, very casual player base.
You know, I actually want to pull a quote from Riot, right? Riot Games. This is a quote from Riot Games. This was when they actually removed Dynamic Queue, right? Because all there was a massive a riot against Riot saying, we want solo queue back, essentially, because everyone hated Dynamic Queue.
So what was Dynamic Queue? Dynamic Queue was essentially, so they tried to merge the ranked fives, or was it Flex Queue before then, into solo queue. So your solo queue rank was the exact same. Yeah,
that's right.
As your dynamic, you could queue up with anyone. With yep. many people.
Yep, you could climb the ladder with, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 people. It didn't really matter. You still had the same rank. That's correct. So essentially, you know, that was a complete and utter failure in Season 6. And it was, I actually went back in time to look at the old Reddit threads of the amount of hate Riot got for making the change from solo queue to dynamic queue. There's a thread out, I will put the screenshots on the thing. It was saying, it should just be split into true solo queue. No more shitter duos and dynamic queue for groups of 2 or more. Easy peasy. And there was another one here. I've defended Riot a lot, but I have never seen a more ignorant decision made by them. And yes, it is ignorant. Ranked is not for casual players who might try it if they could play with their friends. Normals still have MMR. Dynamic didn't fail in HOTS because of the player base. There is no end to how out of touch reality Riot is that they had to believe this to be the case. For all the good data they had, you would think that they wouldn't make a change like this. At the end of the day, solo ranked is for people who care about their ranked. How can they not understand this? Blah, 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 blah. And it goes on. And the Reddit threads they go on and on and on and on, right? So much so. So when they removed Dynamic Queue, there's a quote here from a Riot. He said, while we've heard some comments suggesting otherwise, it's never been a goal for us at Riot to make League more casual. We believe League is for hardcore gamers and mistakenly believe we could offer real competition to all parties with the same experience. Our long-term vision is to be a global sport and our goal remains the same, to offer competitive experiences for all players from solo competition to focused competitive play. Now, it still stands that Riot view League as a brutal competitive game. They want it to be a competitive game. It is a hardcore game. And so I think that's really, really, you know, telling, right? It's literally coming from Riot. It is a hardcore game. And I think that when you have these discussions, I think what you said there was really on point, where I think there needs to be a very clear distinction between the casuals and the people that take rank seriously. And we've said this time and time again on the podcast. Playing solo queue casually is not a great idea. If you're looking for a casual game to play, ranked solo queue or duo queue is a complete and utter waste of time and a miserable experience. Miserable. And it will be a miserable experience because you won't understand why you're losing. You won't have any learning objectives. You won't have any idea of how to get good. It's like essentially going into chess, playing online chess and literally mindlessly playing chess over and over again, hoping that you're randomly going to get better without studying any strategy, without doing anything.
Moving pieces, just like, ah, oh, this looks good.
Ah, this looks good, feel good, have a bit of beer.
Hopefully this works. Hopefully this works.
You're going to go nowhere because the game is so complex. It is so hard. You need to study. You need to be intentional with your play.
And not only that, the rank system is so precise that you're playing against players pretty much dead on with your skill level. So you have to be putting in the extra effort to be beating them to improve.
That's correct. That is correct. And so what happens when you play casual League is that you're gonna lose. You're going to have miserable experiences. You're going to get flamed because you're playing like shit. And it's going to be a disaster. So of course you're going to find it's miserable. A casual player who plays solo queue will always find League miserable. Hence why there is normal games. Right? Hence why there is Flex Queue and all these other things. If you want to play with friends and do your little things, there is even Clash if you want to do competitive stuff as a five. There's plenty of stuff out there if that's what you want to do.
Going back to my initial reaction, how I said, you know, what does he want? We talk about some of these people that comment on this stuff. They want some sunshine rainbow experience where they're the best teammates. He ends there, that last part, but Rakti says, well, you don't choose your teammates. There's no respect for the competitive nature of things and no respect for hard things, things that are difficult. If you put effort into things that are difficult, you get reward. That's what humans have been doing that's what we're built and designed to do. Let's do hard things. That is rewarding.
Develop a skill.
Develop a skill.
Overcome adversity.
Overcome adversity. That's that. The fact that we're able to have that, we always say that, Curtis and I, the league is so crazy to us because we're able to, you know, I can literally see my bedroom right over there. I can get there. I can walk over to my office.
Yeah.
Jump on, like open up some game, jump on.
Go to war with yourself.
And I'm going to war with myself.
Boom.
I don't have to, you know, this is not traditional. I don't have to, you know, get put on, you know, all my gear to go to like a soccer match or something like that. I need to leave here, go like 15 minutes to a field or something like that.
I don't
have
to get on a call to organize anything with anyone.
No.
There's nothing.
That's crazy that I'm able to
have this high level competitive experience.
That's never happened in the history of humanity.
It's incredible.
Yeah. I mean, I guess you could say chess. Chess is probably the closest thing.
Yeah. But still, you would need someone else to play with you a lot of the time, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's even the disadvantage there. You'd need to literally have a player.
Logistically.
Like, let's say if you're like a grandmaster player, you'd have to be living with another grandmaster player.
Yeah, you're capped, especially before pre-internet stage as well. Like, how do you find someone, right? Yeah. Pre-internet stage.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's a really good point. What is the alternative, right? It's like, okay, if we have only, like, let's say I've only dynamic you, right? Imagine how miserable or how hard it would be to actually differentiate who is the best player. Because what happens is that, and this is what the biggest critique, even in Dota, I went on to Dota because I was so fascinated. So the way Dota works is that you can actually queue as a party and you can select a setting where you can queue up as solo, right? And on the threads of Dota, people always talk about you basically, so the way it works is if you queue as a party, you get less MMR per win or something like that. But I think you lose more if you lose, right? So it's like kind of risky. But then you also have like a party MMR. So like, I think if you play with the same person over a long period of time, like you have like a kind of an individual kind of MMR as a party as well. But the biggest critique in Dota is that it's so easy to get boosted because of that, you know, it's essentially all like kind of like a dynamic queue. And so a lot of like people in Dota actually opt in for solo queue to have that better experience. And there's threads and threads and threads about this, even in Dota. So, you know, and look, Dota does have advantages with its rank system. I think they do have quite a sophisticated, like,
they have voice comms, right?
They have voice comms as well. And so I can't comment on a super in-depth level about Dota, but at least for League and just in MOBAs in general, I think the overarching consensus has always been that solo queue is the best way to weed out, well, who's the best and who's the worst in the most efficient way. Mm. And again, what's the alternative? Again, dynamic queue is proven to not work. People hate it. So now what?
Yep.
Continue on?
Yep.
In fact, they weren't your choice at all. They were Riot's or some other game developers. Why am I soliloquizing like this? Well, because several weeks back, Riot made the staggeringly hilarious decision to make it so that in League of Legends, your teammates cannot see certain pings. They've since made adjustments as to which pings are visible, but the general consensus was and continues to be... What?
Wait, so if I ping...
So this is actually completely wrong. So Freak actually came out recently. They looked at the data, the survey data, and, you know, the overarching player base. The general consensus from the pings is that it's actually, so apparently the way, we'll just put the clip in here. I won't explain it. We'll put the clip in here.
Yep.
As TLDR, it was an overwhelming positive. The general public's reaction was positive.
My support, I can see my pings, but he can't see them. So what the f*** is the point? Am I just going to talk to myself? About myself? To myself?
They've changed the pings, so now if I ping a teammate, only I can see it. See, it's a self ping. But dude, the guy's not paying attention. I can't ping him, he doesn't see it. He doesn't have items, we're all telling him.
As much as they're gonna remove the pings from being able to spam ping, I feel like the players are just gonna find something else to do.
No.
So it's funny the examples they picked up there. They're very, very unique use cases. Again, you know how we talk about, okay, well, yeah, sure, maybe there's negatives, but Riot have seen that the positives now outweigh the negatives for
That's
people's
correct.
Overall ranked experience.
Think about those players. You got Cadril there, a high ELO European player. Mm. Broxah, literally a legit pro player, right? For the high ELO community, we have already expressed personally that we can't somewhat agree. We don't think the pings were probably the step in the right direction for the highest levels of play. But below, say, Master tier... Even probably, I even say below GM, really. Pings are like those type of pings that have been disabled weren't really that important.
Yeah, they weren't that useful.
People don't even know how to use pings properly. And the pings that are important are actually still available, right? You can still ping on my way and things like that, right? That's the important shit. Mm. So to be honest, like, again, according to Freak,
When makes he sense. Says the general consensus, again, you're thinking about all the people, the high elo community, even people like
Twitter.
Us.
That just think
like
about Twitter.
Say, even us, we all saying we're, you know, not really fond of them. You know, again, this is really interesting to hear, you know, from the actual, when you actually look at the big data set, right, then it was overwhelmingly positive.
That's right.
For those who don't know, there is ostensibly a good reason to want to stifle certain pings in League of Legends. The bait ping, for instance, had infamously started to be misused as a way for extremely toxic players to deride other players, given its initial resemblance to a noose.
You can ping me if you want. There's a lot of new pings now. You can use bait ping, which I know a lot of people use for different reasons.
The issue, of course, is that actual well-intended allied pings were suffering as a result. But this is all just symptomatic of a larger issue, which is that Riot have slowly turned ranked solo queue into a single player video game. You pick a role, queue ranked by yourself or with at most one friend, load into a server where there are no voice comms, no pings, and no shits given for any lane or position that is not your own. It is a PvE video game. And for some reason, the community wants that.
Yeah, I mean, this makes no sense. This is not logical, right? I mean, for there's a lot of over exaggerations here. There is plenty of pings. Right, there is plenty of ways to communicate and influence your teammates if that's what you want to do. I don't really see a problem with picking one role and one champion. I mean, I don't really see how that's even got anything to do with this league being, solo queue being bad. And then you've got the whole, as if, again, poor me, I can only play by myself when right in the game there is plenty and plenty of options to play with other people if that's what you want to do. Again, we've got flex queue, right? You've got normal games. Right? Why? And again, this is where I'm very confused. This is where I think that even I think he's confused and he hasn't really, he's not really addressing it. Is that is he talking about casual League of Legends or is he talking about competitive League of Legends? What is he actually?
He's trying to drag.
He's trying to straw man the argument. Yeah, it's weird. Somehow. He's like using the best arguments for League being casual and then using that to strawman that League shouldn't be a competitive game or something? Or like strawman League's competitive integrity? I don't understand what his actual point is. There's so many conflicting arguments here and things that are nonsensical. It's really even hard to answer or to respond to half of this. But again, it's like, what is the problem with having the option to play solo queue if you want to play solo queue? I don't really see that problem. Mm. You know, and if, you know,
the question is, why is the majority of the player base playing the ranked? Is that for
what's that? Yeah, exactly. If people don't want to play it, they wouldn't play it. If it was so miserable, why are they playing it?
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense. Just look at the you watch people's behavior gives you more of an indication of a person's character and what they actually think rather than what they say.
Yeah.
Right, we see this all the time. Now, the other thing as well, we said it's a PvE game. Nothing about League is...
It's the least PvE game you could ever possibly imagine.
Yeah, it literally
is. Because,
you
know, his mindset
opposite.
Is that his teams are all bots and the enemy teams are all bots. So how is it that when I make a decision in the game, okay,
yeah,
then the enemy is going to react in a potentially emotional way? That's a human... I'm definitely versing a human on the end there. I did a live coaching session... on my stream, and we were talking about how emotional the enemy jungle was, how human it was. Yeah. This is like a Platinum 4 game.
Yeah.
And because we did some counter jungling, I said, well, the way that the player behavior works is that when they lose their camps, they didn't expect to lose their camps, their main brain explodes because they were expecting to go.
Yeah.
So they'll just keep running forward to the to something, right? League is the most human game. That's a great example of the most human game it could possibly be.
It is so human, in fact, that you can literally read a player's personality by their movements.
Mm.
I could literally tell you exactly what emotion they're feeling in a game just from watching their click.
They're really scared. You can tell the way
they're anxious, they're nervous, they're playing to lose, playing to win. I can read a whole spectrum of emotion just from their gameplay. If 30 seconds of gameplay, 60 seconds of gameplay, I can tell you how they're feeling. Are they overconfident? Are they cocky?
Yep.
Are they joyous and excited and dopamine everywhere? You can literally see it.
Yep. You can literally see. If I had PvE, like bots on my team, you know, actually bots, let's say that the AI, they're actually more focused in the early game because, you know, the most human thing when someone's like in the fountain or someone's like sitting there and they get caught because they're changing their Spotify, YouTube playlist, you know what I mean? Like, this is just comical.
What I love about League is that every single little decision that you make impacts everyone else in the game. Mm. Everyone.
Yep.
Your decision as a jungler, literally what buff to start, your first decision of the game, impacts the entire map. It is the most PvP-oriented game you could possibly have. Mm. Nothing about it is PvE.
There's a variable changing every single...
Every millisecond.
Every millisecond, literally.
That's what makes it so difficult.
Yeah.
For those who don't know, Riot have made changes to the ranked infrastructure over the years, removing solo queue and wanting to remove duo queue, and then reinstating solo queue because the community whined and Riot were huge cowards and acquiesced, and yeah. It's a nightmare. It always has been. Essentially, the community has become so accustomed to the misery and despair of having to earn one's rank all by oneself that they started whining at the prospect of actually having to play League of Legends the way it was intended to be played. They had this idea that
Wait. There's so much here, Nathan. Let's just reiterate this. His point is saying that Riot did remove solo queue. They brought dynamic queue, season 6. It was an overwhelming failure from the community, the literal community, the people playing the game.
Their customer
hated it. So they had to listen, obviously, because we all, you know, they're the people playing the goddamn game.
The business at the end. They need people playing the game to buy their
skins. The argument is that Riot are cowards for not sticking with it, and that we are idiot. Like, the people are stupid and they don't know what they really want. Is essentially the argument here. And that it's just because, again, when solo queue is not really playing the game how it's meant to be played. Yeah, League is meant to be played as like a five stack with multiple people communicating. Hmm. And this is where we completely diverge and completely part ways. And this is, I think, something we've noticed time and time and time again with not just him, but many content creators, like other, you know, content creators we've seen. There is this underlying belief that with communication, the level of play increases. In reality, it actually decreases. Straight up decreases. You see this with duo queues failing. That's one of the reasons, because they're talking so much. They're giving information. One person's compensating for someone else. Yep. Because the difference is, this is where we got to get very specific to League, okay? A mid laner and a jungler, right? If a jungler says something, that's going to influence, obviously, the mid laner's decisions. But the reality is that in order for the mid laner to become better as an individual, they need to be able to see these things on their own, process that information, be able to know why they're even looking at that information, and be able to understand what the correct move is without being told. Now, so if you get two players, one player is dependent on one person giving them information and the other person isn't dependent on them receiving information, the person that isn't dependent is infinitely better. Always, period. Hence why the solo queue ladder, the best solo queue players are the best competitive players. Mm. That is always the way it's worked.
Remember when we had Gamer Dad on and he was, you know, of this opinion as well. He was like, the team play. And we said straight
team play,
up.
Team play.
Five master tier players who have been playing together as a competitive team for 2-3 years, working on their synergy, have insane drafts, will get absolutely annihilated by five challenger solo, just pure solo queue players. Not even on comms.
I would actually even say more than this.
Yeah.
I would actually say...
You could up it a bit more.
Yeah, I would say... No, I would say all genuine low master players, right? Let's say you get five stack of two. They've been playing for 2-3 years. Hardcore, comms, everything. And you get even just a... Like, let's say a 700 LP player, not even challenger. Mm. Let's say grandmaster, a grandmaster player team, right? With relatively equal drafts, and they're on no comms, they would beat that team. Guaranteed. Every time.
Yep. You could even extend it to the top of the ladder, the top 20 players in each role. The top top player in each role, top five players in each role would actually beat, like high GM.
And you know what's fascinating? Even in the high leagues, the players that you would deem would want comms the most still don't want comms. What? Think about the thing that they did, like the pug system in League. What was it called again?
Oh, Champions Queue.
Champions Queue.
Yeah, that never got thrown off the ground. Everyone
never
hates
got
it.
Off the
yeah.
ground because
a lot of people don't go on comms. Or
they don't even go on comms even if they have the option. Yeah. Think about that for a second. Yeah. You look at the behavior even of the players you would think would want it the most, and they don't want it. Mm. Because League is a very, very mentally taxing game. There is no downtime. And this is the thing, right? And this is the most important point. If you get five random players in Platinum, all on comps, none of them know what they're doing.
They're all making each other worse.
They're making each other worse. From a blind leading the blind.
Imagine from a jungler. I always think it's a jungler perspective because I have a hard enough time with my clients going to pings that they know about. Imagine someone telling them comms, come help my lane, come fix my lane.
Imagine being a jungler in a game like that. Unbelievable. I tell mid laners off in my program all the time where they say, oh, I want my help, jungler, help me gank mid. I'm like, this is not gankable. If your jungler comes mid, you lose the game.
God help me.
Imagine you've got three laners that don't understand jungle.
Yeah.
Yet one player on the team that doesn't understand jungle. Mm. Vice versa, you get a jungler that wants to do a scuttle or whatever, wants to do a Rift Herald, but their mid lane is sitting on 1100 gold or doesn't have prior, and they say, come mid, come to Rift, and then they get into an argument and say, no, fuck off. It's never, ever going to work.
No. It's funny how he says that he's got this vision of real League of Legends. Like,
yeah.
Remember, guys, we're not even, like, no one is playing real League of Legends until he's Master Plus.
Barely.
Master Plus, right? Like, you know, how about, guys, we don't die to really bad ganks? How about we learn what a good and bad gank is first? How about we learn how to pilot our champion, just Cameron River? Like, guys, we're all learning the game still, you know, and that's where Solo Queue is the best teacher of learning the game. You're never going to learn the game properly. This is why we're so against, like, people that think they can only play competitive, like the fives, and think that they're actually improving as a player, and they're just getting nowhere,
getting worse, yeah. And this is the thing as well, is that, the whole comms thing, it's like, my number one pet peeve with the comms is that it ruins the learning cycle. Someone else is having the learning for you, or you're having the learning for someone else. That's it. You only need that reason and that reason alone. Mm. If someone else is giving you information or telling you what to do, then how are you learning as an individual?
People always forget as well of how structured League is and actually how limited everyone in the game is. You know, even if you think about down to team fights, you have to know before that. No one actually even should need to tell you what your job is in the team fight. And you actually only have a very... It's not even communicated. We can't even communicate in the how fast team fights and stuff.
The game's moving too fast as well. Fast, yeah. This is
too limited. You're stuck with the minion wave. It's not like, you know, where a battleground. Royale and stuff where you can run anywhere and go anywhere. You know, you're so limited.
You're so limited in League.
Because League is so structured around minion waves.
And also, I want to talk about this in relation to shooters. So this guy comes from a Counter-Strike background, right? I myself come from a Counter-Strike background. So much of my brother was even a pro player, and I know many people who are still current pro players in Counter-Strike from Australia, and they moved to NA. So in Counter-Strike, you have what I would call basically permanent lull states. So a lull state in League is meaning, you know, a moment in the game where you're not inherently occupied by something in your face, right? In laney, for specifically laners in League, there's not many lull states because you're having to CS, you're in farm, you're having to trade with someone. You're constantly engaged with things, right? So there's a very, very brief period where you can actually like zoom out and think about the game. So much so we even had to create a concept of lull states for it. In Counter-Strike, there is so much downtime to think and to communicate and do anything you want, to give information, receive information.
Especially when you're counter-terrorist.
Especially when you're counter-terrorist.
You're camping this. You're waiting for information to happen, to smoke.
And imagine dying in Counter-Strike. You literally have to just wait.
Yeah.
For the round to be over, and that round has little to no or little consequence on the next round. Yeah, sure, you can go down a little bit in an econ, you can do an eco for one or two rounds, and then you boom, and then it's back, insta reset, right? So my point being is that like there is so much more time to communicate in other games like that of Counter-Strike. Like you rotating to another bomb site, or you're a counter-terrorist waiting in a site, camping, you're playing, you know, Mirage and waiting at the bomb site, waiting for someone to come. There is so much time. Or they plan at the other side and you can commit, your team's giving you information while you're walking to the other site. So my point being is that League has very, very few moments where you could genuinely have high quality communication.
This would be things like, you know, okay guys, let's start a Baron or something like that, because people might be going greeting waves or something like that. But when people talk about comms, they think about these situations, but they're such niche cases. It's general communication is generally not useful for the like 80% of a League of Legends game.
Do you think Riot is so dumb that if they could make a change like this that could make their game better, that they wouldn't have already made it?
That's right.
Are you that disrespectful to Riot. Riot literally have the most successful gaming company, basically, right? They have Valorant, which is borderline now taking it like as big as Counter-Strike, essentially. Mm. You've got League, which is the biggest game in the world that's been now running for a pretty long time, not as long as Counter-Strike. You think that they wouldn't have at least even thought about the voice comms?
I think a lot of people would say to Kyuga, yeah, no, Riot's dumb.
Riot is leaps and bounds ahead of any other developer.
Absolutely. And everyone always forgets about how involved they are with the community, with the patch changes. Like, again, guys, come on, let's give me some examples from Valve. Give me some examples from Blizzard.
Give me some examples from Blizzard, like, Valve, on, any guys. Of these companies, ArenaNet, whatever.
They're fucking exploding. They're
terrible. God help me.
Unless your rank involved herding cats and baiting brain-dead Akalis, it somehow didn't count. And some of you watching this video are probably long-time League players, and maybe you've been indoctrinated with this way of thinking. Here's the thing, though. You're wrong, because you are the only ones who insist that it be done this way. Ranked in Dota 2, for instance, a game in which I have roughly 6,000 hours, used to be split into solo and party queue. And for many years of my life, the better part of a decade, it was the worst thing that had ever happened to me. CSGO and CS2 Premier, Face It, Rainbow Six Siege, Overwatch, even Destiny, all of these games allow you to queue the quote-unquote real ranked mode with your friends and earn actual ELO.
So this is straight, yeah, and you know why Riot have done this? Because those are all dumb ideas. Counter-Strike rank system. I'm going to talk about Counter-Strike for a sec. I know he's a Counter-Strike guy. I'm a Counter-Strike guy. Counter-Strike has always had the worst rank system ever. So bad, in fact, that your rank in Counter-Strike means nothing. No one gives a shit. Everyone's global. Like, everyone's basically global elite. Because it's global elite's like the top 6%. That's not even Diamond 4 level in League.
Mm. And that's the top rank.
That's
in that
the highest rank in Counter-Strike Go was global elite. That's roughly 6%, whatever, right? So much so that they literally ditched the rank system in Counter-Strike to create external platforms like Face It and all this stuff to do pugs because it was so bad. When I played at a high-level semi-professional in Counter-Strike in Source, there was no rank system, and then we literally forced to do pugs. Valve are terrible with rank systems. They literally had to outsource their rank system. It's that bad. And every single person who has played Counter-Strike has literally hated the rank system in Counter-Strike. No one has ever said anything positive to do with it. It is a shit show. The Dota community has frequently made complaints about how easy it is to get boosted in Dota because of the party queue. The party queue has incredibly large downsides. Again, like you said yourself, no rank system is perfect. Every rank system has its flaws, right? I would argue that the floors of Dota are much, much larger than that of League. Now, again, I'm not saying solo queue is the perfect system, right? But in my opinion, and from the community's opinion, let's just make that very clear, the League community's opinion is also that. Now, his point was that we're all just indoctrinated, we're all wrong, the entire League community is wrong, we're all delusional,
we've been tricked
by Riot, they've really got us this time, they've tricked us well, and we don't even know what we believe. Everyone believes is wrong, and we're all just delusional, right? I think that's pretty bloody unlikely. I think that's extremely unlikely, in fact. At that scale, that many people would argue that it's bad, and that the League has consistently grown since Season 6 and become one of the biggest games in the world. So, stats don't lie, man. The stats do not lie. Anything else to add on that?
I can tell why he would have that. Based on everything he said, it makes sense why he's that opinion. Why Valve Dota making that change was the worst experience of his life, because clearly he has no respect for the competitive or skill aspect of the game.
That's right.
And
if he's come from games where he's only been playing in duos and trios and quads, right? He's used to that. That's his comfort zone. That's what he likes. Maybe he likes the comfort zone of playing with friends and not taking full accountability and responsibility. That's because what he is used to. If anything, it's the other way around. If anything, you're the one that's been indoctrinated. Solo queue is the innovative approach that what we really need, because it's the tough pill that most people don't want to swallow.
I mean, this guy
looks the other way around.
I don't know how old this guy, but I we've sort of been tricked for the last, because no game like League has had such a mass competitive player base. You've had obviously games that have been popular with StarCraft. I mean, StarCraft's obviously, you know, straight up individual. It's very easy to do the MMR system for those sort of games. But League is the first game ever made that has the mass audience as well as the huge competitive, you know, aspect thing. It's never happened before, ever in the history of the world.
At that scale.
So we've been tricked for 20 years, 30 years that the games, you know, it's, you can just go team play and you can get really good at the game. That's actually how we thought you got good again. But we had no idea that if you actually create a very mature player base over decades, you know, coming onto decades for League of Legends with, you know, this much stake in terms of career, getting millions of dollars, this is just new. This is what it's leading to. It's basically, what I'm saying is League has basically transcended this next era of competitive gaming.
Yep.
That people like him, the old school thing, that think that, oh, happy chappy, all games, they're lost.
These people are so lost. They're in the depths, because do you know what these players are?
These, you know, these players, I actually was one of these players.
Yeah, we both were.
The Call of Duty.
Thousands of hours.
Like pugging, like, you know, Call of Duty, having like top on the leaderboards and see, like chilling with your friends and stuff like that. And like, because you thought that was, but dude, we didn't even realize we weren't playing against pro players. We weren't even close. We weren't playing against people the same our skill level.
No.
But we thought that was getting us results, playing with our teammates, having fun, dominating these lobbies with like insane win rates, nukes and shit in Call of Duty. That was the gaming experience of the 2000s.
And the only way to differentiate the people in these games as well is to play thousands and thousands and thousands of hours and then go to an external site or something like Faceit or something, and then climb.
Or walk up to some local LAN and then actually see the best players playing for prize money.
So inefficient. Yeah. How do you do a global game, like, right, at scale and still actually clearly differentiate the player base? The only answer is solo queue. Mm. There is no alternative. Mm. It is the most efficient way to weed it out, the people.
Yeah.
That's what we're thankful for. I would literally, I'm going to say this straight up. If they remove solo queue, duo queue in League and they made it like that, it was only like 3-man lobbies, 4-man lobbies, whatever, I quit.
Yeah, we're done.
I'm literally done.
Yes.
League is fucked.
It's dead.
It's dead.
Yes.
It's gone. I can't play that game.
No.
It's unplayable. Mm. Ruined. So like, and I think there's many, 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 many people that would think this. They wouldn't see it initially, but the game would slowly just die.
Oh, yeah. Wait until 6 months in of that, dude. Oh, holy shit.
Holy shit.
Everyone thinks that, oh, that might sound like a cool idea. Wait until you get to the reality.
And the reason we know this is because we've seen I've literally coached thousands of people, right? Straight up. I've coached individuals at all ranks. I've never, basically, I would say, I don't want to say never, the extreme outlier is that they had a positive experience with duo. Like, I would say one in 4,000, 2 in 4,000 have had a somewhat positive experience with duo.
The more common thing is that they've been doing a thing. They've had, and then they got all these shitty narratives. They have all these view bad.
They're not going anywhere. They're getting worse.
And then they come to us. And then we got to realize, where was your background? Oh, I duoed a lot. There's the alarm bells. All right. And now I know this is a problem client. It's going to take me a long time, maybe even unfixable. And a lot of my duo clients are unfixable.
Yeah, they are. They're the worst narratives. And the people that come from a competitive background, the people that like play like team play, like 5v5s in like bronze leagues and silver leagues and gold leagues, some of those people have insane narratives. They're so delusional.
We've had people write into us. They admitted they were actually, they didn't realize that they thought they were a team leader and positive, but they actually found out watching our podcast and playing Solo, they are the most toxic.
They are
players.
The problem.
The team players are the most toxic players.
Because they have the most unrealistic expectations about what
and
their
players
should do.
They hide behind their teammates all the time. Yes. Like this guy. They hide. They're experts at hiding.
Yes, they are.
Their individual mistakes.
Solo queue cuts the crap. Yes. Cuts the bullshit. It's like, let's just see everyone on an even playing field. Let's see where we're at.
Yeah.
Right? And again, this brutal environment, this hardcore game, as right, the rank that won't really to be a hardcore game, is not for everyone. This is what we make it very clear. Not everyone should play solo queue, duo queue. Fuck off and play normal games. Mm-hmm. You don't need to play a game. There is modes out there for you. We don't need you to play it. There's plenty of people that actually want a competitive experience. It's really that simple.
Just keep going.
And in none of those game modes does anyone tells me to myself because I opted for a full clear on Jarvan.
That's bullshit. But I literally, one of the reasons I had to stop playing Counter-Strike was because of how toxic it was. It's fucking bullshit. I know for a fact Counter-Strike is very, very toxic on comms. I was like traumatized in Counter-Strike with how toxic it was. And there's a whole host of other problems that Counter-Strike has that we're not even talking about here. Mm. And these other games. Mm. That's just bullshit. It's not like toxic is like completely, it's, you put any competitive environment and mix that with anonymity, you're going to get a toxic environment.
Welcome to, yes.
Welcome to just any competitive thing.
Welcome to human nature.
Welcome to human nature. Sports can be toxic. Yes. Go to any local league.
Yeah,
hear the and parents. Rivals. People, yeah. Hear the parents abusing people and shit. I went to one of my mates' basketball games recently and the amount of insults, like, you know, just people swearing and shit at each other. That's just competitiveness. Dude, welcome.
A bunch of fucking snowflakes, dude. Wait,
this
is,
yeah, this guy screams snowflake, dude.
Yes.
100%.
Absolutely.
Again, they're looking for a utopia that doesn't, they want a competitive environment where you can play and dick around with your friends and have some fun, no toxicity, everyone's nice, everyone's communicating perfectly, happy chappy.
You make a mistake and you're not getting caught out for,
you can not come mad on a heavy trading lane, it's okay, don't worry about it, all good. Just delusional.
Have any friends to play with, you might say, then make some. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not. I just do not think that the entire player base has to suffer racist, sexist.
Wait, saying that if we don't have friends to play with, because let's say, for example, like they bring in Dynamic and we don't have friends to play with, we got to make friends. That's our problem. If we don't want to play with friends and we don't have friends to play with, it's on us. It's our fault. We don't have friends. It's not even point even responding to that. It's just unbelievable.
Idiotic teammates all because I have someone to play with and you don't. That's insane and in no way worth it. Now, some of you who don't play League, and God bless you, might be thinking, why not just play Flex Queue? Why play solo queue? Because Flex Queue is, quite frankly, a meme. It's a joke. No one takes it seriously. And the only way to fix that is to meld solo queue and
this is, okay. If you think Flex Queue is a meme, get rank one challenger. Put your money where your mouth is. If you think Flex Queue is a meme and you can just queue up with your buddies and you're gonna do it. If you can literally have the experience that you want and have a competitive game, and you will still lose. I guarantee he can play with five of his gold buddies, right? And play. They will get shit on by casual Emerald players. Mm.
Not even close.
With comms. You know, whatever you want. You have the perfect team called Wombo Combo. You do your Malphite Amumu in goal four, whatever it is. Do it. And you're going to lose. So you can have, and you can only make that argument if you're rank one, or if you're even top of the ladder. And so we'll get in a second. I actually think this is a great segue. I think this is a great segue to take a look at this guy's OPGG. So
let's see who we're listening to
Let's see who we're listening to.
And remember, going back to actions speak louder than words.
All right. Okay, so one of the my enraged MLA members actually did some digging and found this guy streaming with this account. So, you know, he's like really, really certain that this is him. I'm not going to say 100%. I can't say, you know, go out on a limb and say, I'm not going to say it's 100%.
We'll say most likely.
Most highly, highly likely this is him, right? So he's currently sitting in goal four with a 49% win rate. Now, this is nothing about rank shame. We're just, again, trying to get a clear picture of what we're working with here, right? Now, he was silver in split one, and he's played since season 12. He's gold in season 12 as well. Now, what was really interesting is that if you actually go to the patterns here, look at this one. His FF, his surrendering statistic here is in 52.6%, comparatively to the average player in gold in NA being 24.7%. Doesn't this tell you everything you need to know?
It's a big story. You know, it's funny how this guy is telling us how ranked is so toxic and it's such a miserable experience. Guys, this guy who you're listening to from the Score Esports,
he's only played 13 days of League. He's the mastermind of League. He knows all the solo queue problems.
Yeah, not just that. This guy is the toxic person in your games, giving up, mentally checking out. Going back to what we said, the team players, the people that want this stuff,
they're the most toxic. This is him. He is the toxic, raging guy. Yes. I guarantee you, I could bet any amount of money, he is the raging, toxic guy, spam FFing, blaming teammates. I saw it as well. Someone actually sent me one of his Twitter as well, somebody typing in chat or some shit about being toxic in chat. This is him. This is what we're dealing with here. The people that are, and this is what we found, the people that are the most critical of Riot, This is what we do. This is the type of profile they have. Because they don't understand the game.
They don't understand the game.
They don't. They think they understand the game. Yeah. They think because they've played all these other game titles, they think they've got all this gaming experience. They're just, and what it is, it's really just pent up rage that they're not talented at League. That's really what it is. They're so insecure about their level of play with League that they have to blame something else.
Well, remember, and they're used to from the trickery of 20 years of gaming.
Yes, they play with friends.
The companies kept on telling us is that, hey, you can play with friends and get high rank and you can be as a rank system. We've been tricked again for 20 years and he can't accept the new world that we're entering here, that he can't get past whatever rank he's, you know, he's stuck. He's got a negative win rate. He can't get that through. He can't accept reality. That we're entering.
And it's hard, especially if you're a long-term gamer. I understand. We were both there where if you've had success in other game titles, and a lot, we have many people that come to our programs that were amazing at StarCraft. They were immortal in this game. I've had guys that top ranked in Dota, struggling in Platinum in League. They come over, they have all these inflated egos. The reality sets in that they're not the player they thought they were. They're struggling in gold or whatever the hell it might be. And rather than taking responsibility and getting into the details and looking at their gameplay and seeing how they're contributing to losses, they blame Riot.
Because again, they haven't had to do that for any other game.
That's right. League to be Riot.
League is one of the first games that you actually need to we've found that to compete, you have to have a process. You have to you don't have to have a process. I mean, everyone has their own process, right? You can even say playing 15 games a day is a process, right? But
you've got to be intentional.
You have to be very intentional.
You've got to really want to win.
It's brutally hard to improve. A lot of the games that, you know, this guy's coming from but people's background, you could just put in the hours and be better than the majority of people. But now you could put in a shit ton of hours and still be bronze in League.
Yep.
That is a fact.
That's a fact.
Which is really rarely ever happened in any game ever made.
Yep. And that's a testament to how difficult League is and how difficult it has become, because it's becoming more of a mature player base. The game is becoming more and more sophisticated. Back in the day, right, if you played League 10 years ago in Season 2, you could literally spam games and get to a high rank because the game wasn't that sophisticated. No one knew what the game was actually really about.
Also, as well, you know, the era of YouTube and all the YouTube tutorials and guides, the amount of content out there,
it's unbelievable,
was never been made for any other
game.
There
was no such thing as even a coach in League think about getting coached individually.
Coach was first created from League, wasn't it? There wasn't coaching in any other game, was there? Was this in CSGO? Coaches in CSGO
Be coaches in StarCraft or something. Surely.
Yeah, right. You're probably right.
I'm not going to go ahead and make that statement.
Yeah.
But all I'm going to say is that even getting a team coach back in season seven,
in season two,
no one even believed in coaches. What do you know more than me? I'm the higher ranked player. What's the point, right? Yeah. So even coaching is relatively new. Like League, it's taken people a while to actually realize that just the inherent difficulty of the game.
Yeah. A lot of people still have the perception. I actually heard from someone today that just joined my program. His friend was shocked. He's like, you pay for coaching for a game, that's still a narrative. Versus if you're in tennis or swimming or something like that, kids getting good. Like that's pretty much, you have to basically have to.
You should bring up the story of that guy who got highest rank in all these games. What he had to say about it.
Great. So, we talk about, there's lots of comparison about, you know, League and Riot compared to other games, and other games apparently have done it better according to this guy. So this guy by the name of Rowan God, so getting some real hardcore experienced players that have actually walked the walk. This guy, Rowan God, he got the highest rank in all four of Riot's games. So Challenger in League of Legends, Radiant in Valorant, Challenger in Teamfight Tactics, and Master in Legends of Runeterra, which I think is the highest rank. And this is an article, I'll link it, Sports Seeker. I'll link it in the description below. The question here was by the interviewer, out of all of your remarkable achievements in gaming, which one would you consider the most taxing? And Rowan God responds, I think hitting Challenger in League of Legends is by far the most difficult achievement on my list. League of Legends and MOBA in general is the hardest genre in gaming. League of Legends is definitely the toughest game I've played. So that's interesting to hear from someone that's done it. He's played a lot of different genres.
Yeah.
All four of games, and he says that it's not even close.
Great. Anything else you want to comment here before we move on?
About his... Yep, no, I think we're good. We're covered. Yep, this is his profile.
Let's keep rock and rolling.
Together. Here's the other thing, though. And a lot of League players are not going to want to hear this, but it's the truth. Solo queue is already also a fucking joke. Aside from League, because again, why would you ever take League rank seriously? I am diamond equivalent or higher in virtually all of the multiplayer esports titles I play. I know most people probably know me as like the CS guy, but I actually have quite a wide-ranging experience with different rank systems and how to climb them.
Not League, apparently.
No.
Now, what makes SoloQue a joke? It is.
But did I just hear him say he said that if... Why would anyone take playing ranked solo?
Yeah, why would anyone take playing ranked seriously?
God, you know, and I just hear that and think about all the people.
I think that sums up everything, honestly.
Remember all the people that have written into this podcast about how, you know, listen to our podcast and the things that we've learned from League and we've taught to people have changed their lives. They're better studiers, they're more effective. obviously, League players, but we've even had people say that their relationships improved because their relationship with the game's also improved a lot. You know, so like, you know, we hear that and just hear all the things from the Nathan's mailbag of like people that have like, you know, got out of depression, changed their life. We've had people write into us saying we help them prevent suicide, stuff like that. Like, why is it that a game like League, if you take it seriously, how isn't that interesting? Let's pose that question. How is that possible? You can maybe think, well, we're just trying to outline and all these in the Nathan mailbag we're fabricating. Sure, you can maybe believe that. There's something there, you know, to pursue. And that's just something there that we found when we first, you know, spoke to Jonathan Brown back in 2017, where there's more to this game than we think.
Yeah.
And we went down that rabbit hole for the last 6-7 years.
And because it is a solo-oriented game, because it is so inherently brutal and it's snowball-y and it requires you to be very cerebral.
You learn a lot about yourself from competitive games.
It's you versus
games,
yourself.
From anything, you know.
And that's what makes it the best.
Yeah. From sports, you know, sports is so well looked upon in, you know, society, and, you know, everyone wants their kids to do sports and stuff, and because you learn so much about yourself.
Builds character.
It's fantastic. And, you know, competitive is no different for
that is the reason why you take anything seriously, not just League, anything seriously. And you just get doubly rewarded taking ranked solo queue seriously because of, again, how difficult it is to climb. So it's, you have to put in, you have to be more sophisticated in your approach to climb in the ladder. You have to be more intentional, have a better quality process, have a better relationship with the game. You have to be honest with yourself. Because
break
it's such a
psychological
because it's such a psychological game, you not only have to be good in terms of your game understanding, you have to be really switched on mentally. You got to have your own toolkit to deal with the crap. Right? And again, we're not saying that League is this utopia. It's far from a utopia. It's not a perfect... It's the closest, we believe, is the closest to a perfect game, right? Hence why it's, you know, still standing the test of time and still continuously the biggest game. But, you know, it forces you to know about you. You got to learn about yourself, whether you like it or not, in order to climb the high ranks.
You talk about battling your demons, you know. There's a lot of demons you got to battle and figure out.
And I will say this, diamond and equivalent, you've got to be very careful with saying that, because how could you even differentiate that in games like Counter-Strike? Because diamond 4 is like top like 3 or 4% or whatever it is, right? So in Counter-Strike specifically, even getting global elite wouldn't even mean you're even touching what getting diamond 4 is. Mm. So, you know, you got to remember, in getting a equivalent of that rank in a game that is easier, that is in pre-made lobbies that you can queue with multiple people, you can't make that distinction. Sure, if I queue up with my buddies in Dota who are much better than me and get me all the way to a diamond equivalent, does that mean I'm a diamond player? No, we have no idea how you got to those ranks in those games. You've literally stated all of those games you play have those modes, a dynamic queue that you can queue with multiple people. So if anything, by stating your credentials of getting diamond in all these games, it completely means nothing. It's negligible because you could get boosted. You can get carried by other people. It's not a true representation of your skill. That is the point. That is why getting diamond in League is so superior to getting diamond in anything else, relative in terms of the amount of skill required in the game.
And we've heard from Rowan God there as well that League's the hardest game.
He's digging himself his own grave in a way.
And I can tell you, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that League is the worst and that it's not even close. The only sensible way to play League ranked, and the only reason I play it, is to treat it as a seasonal event that you play once, now twice a year, to get a Victoria skin with the cool chroma you want, and then immediately stop playing because you refuse to hate yourself and the bulk of humanity in the name of a video game. In no way, shape, or form does solo duo queue engender actual competitive gameplay.
You know what's really, what again screams to me watching this again for the next time, the second time, is that
you know, it really screams to me that he doesn't know how to improve. So what he's done is he's got this very sophisticated gaming background. He's played games for years, right? He's got like 6K hours on CSGO. He's got 6K hours on Dota. He's got these thousands and thousands and thousands of hours, right? He's grinded. That's how he's got his rank. He is put in, just smash just face hours, on keyboard, yeah. hours.
The throw shit in off wall, eventually it sticks. Approach.
And those are the people, the old school gamers that are slowly disappearing now. And are realizing there is that you know, that from these old school gamers, you're seeing kind of them branch out. The people that are realizing, holy shit, I'm actually just delusional. I'm nowhere near as good of a gamer as I thought it was. I got lucky. I just played the game more than anyone else from a young age. I just happened to, you know, put in more hours and just play more, and now I'm pretty good at it. And then you get the players that realize that, oh shit, I actually don't know how to learn. I don't know how to improve at anything. So when I'm given an actual challenge, I'm screwed. And then the people that basically live in that delusion, and they anything that they try that is difficult, that requires them to develop a process and actually break down a skill, they just give up. They just don't play it. They avoid it. Anything that is actually challenging, that requires them to put in intense effort and a process, they can't do it. And so you get these people that they have to make a tough, they have to be honest with themselves. Do I even know how to improve efficiently at a skill? Right? And I guarantee you, this is the type of play, these old school gamers that really struggle. And they're stuck in the old, back in my day, we had this type of game, that type of game, this amount of hours. It doesn't mean shit. The games are changing. They're more competitive. They're more brutal. And League is the new, like you said, the new world order kind of games. And it's tough. It's a tough pill to swallow. It's tough, a very tough pill to swallow.
Let's keep going.
It doesn't at all. It is a form of online gambling. If I want to play actual League, I queue norms with a 5-stack. So,
and also that, the online gambling thing. So this is very, very telling of his view of League. He thinks that because he's got all these other people on this team that he's not able to communicate with, he can't do a pre-made stack, that it's luck, that the teammates are going to dictate your level of play. That is the furthest thing from the truth. Mm. It may feel like that because you don't know what the game actually, you don't know what skills you need to develop to climb. You don't know how you're contributing to the loss. And again, this is the crux of the problem. He fundamentally disrespects the difficulty of the game. He thinks he understands the game. He literally says how League is meant to be played as a 5-stack and all this stuff. He doesn't
when he calls it real League, he doesn't even...
He doesn't know what real League is. How can you know? How can you make that statement with a game that you're not even an expert in? How can you make these bold claims? And I love this quote where it's like, extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. Show me the profile that you've played League, that you've climbed to the highest ranks, that you've done all this stuff. Show it. That would show us that you actually know what true solo queue is about. You don't know the slightest thing about what League actually is as a game. No idea. No clue. No.
If you were to sit this guy down and say, can you review this game and tell me exactly what's going on? He would be missing a million. He wouldn't even know. The baseline knowledge, again, he'll be talking as a gold four player.
A negative win rate gold four player. That's exactly what he would be.
You'd see, this is what he's focusing on here. And you could probably just copy paste and compare that. Okay, this is what I'm thinking as a challenger player. And you could see the big gap. Really big gap there.
There's a reason why the solo queue ladder never lies. No. That's the reality. And again, the tough pill to swallow is that you are going to have some rough games. Right? You know, poor, what's his name again?
Dimitri.
Poor little Dimitri. You're not going to be able to win every game. I'm sorry about that. You're going to have to climb with maybe, it's going to take some time because it's quite a challenge. Might be too much for you. That's okay. Play another game. That's simple. You got to view League more like playing the odds over a long period of time. You're not just going to randomly skyrocket because you've got four men in your
team. The most common thing is, okay, well, there's, four other variables on your team, but you're the constant versus five other random variables. So if you just think about that logically.
Again, is it stupid that Riot are stifling communication to the point of non-existence? Yes, certainly. But what's even stupider is that none of this would be necessary if they just let me play the game mode that's supposed to matter with the people that I want to play with. Just like they did in Valorant. 3 years ago, Riot finally released another competitive multiplayer title that replicated this exact infrastructure. And yes, there are problems. There are problems with every rank system. It is an inherently imperfect player experience. But Valorant rank is leagues better than League. The difference is that in Valorant, you don't have over 10 years of Stockholm Syndrome handcuffing Riot and making it impossible for them to create any sort of meaningful change in a hopelessly miserable player experience. The League community has become so accustomed to the link between ranked and despair that they can't recognize one without the other. They refuse to accept the idea that if your rank didn't come at the expense of your fucking sanity, it can't count for anything. Insta-locking some meta jungler, muting all of your teammates from the get-go, and churning out games like their hands of solitaire doesn't make you good at League. It makes you good at solo queue. And those are very different things.
Oh, yeah, no. That is the cream. That's the cherry on top.
Yeah. Yeah, and this is a game where people think that that's solo queue is League of Legends.
Solo queue is League. Yes. It's the other way, literally polar opposite. Yeah. He is completely, completely wrong. And okay, let's back to, there's two major points we're going to talk about. Let's talk about this one, right?
Well, first I want to address the why he says that Valorant's system's better. We know why, because it's easier for him.
Yes.
And it's ticking all the boxes that fits his narrative. Of
and also, it's just a different game.
Yeah, you can't compare. As we've talked about here, MOBAs, you cannot compare MOBAs with voice, especially communication, with an FPS
game. It's like comparing like American football with chess or some shit. It's like, it just makes no sense. It's completely illogical.
And again, this is where everyone groups gaming in. It's all groups. It's gaming. All grouped together. I hate it where esports is even grouped. I hate that, you know, I hate word esports. No, League of Legends is a sport. CSGO is a sport. They're two different things.
Yes, sure. They do fall under the same umbrella as just same sports, as right?
Sports, but no one calls tennis it sports. They call it tennis and NFL.
Tennis and,
you know?
Yeah, American football and soccer and whatever it might be, yes.
This grouping is really hurting.
You would never say the communication in, for example, like one sport should be taken to another sport. It's fucking ridiculous when you actually use a real proper example. Like, okay, why is the communication not as good in doubles tennis than it is in soccer or some shit? They're completely different games. So there's that. But then also, I want to tie back to the point where it's like solo queue is not the real game, right? It's like being good at solo queue doesn't mean you're good at League.
Yeah, because this is a game where competitive people, they think that their solo queue rank doesn't matter. Actually, the team play,
that's right.
That's actually truly
good. And when they actually experience this, it's like changes their entire worldview. Because they haven't actually experienced, they don't actually know the difference. Like, I actually had this discussion with someone when watching Worlds yesterday, and I said, you know what's fascinating is that, like, because it was, I think it was C9 playing, and on C9 there was Fudge and Eminez, and they played at OS, right? Fudge is from OS, and Eminez used to play in OS as well. And I've played versus them, right? We know what they're like. And I said to the people in the call, I said, you know, we're watching these players. People don't realize how amazing individual players these people are. Like, in solo queue, you verse them, it doesn't even feel like you have never experienced anything like this. And we're just casually watching and like jabbing at their gameplay and shit. Yeah. These people are so good at the game. There is a complete disrespect for the quality of these solo queue players. Like how good these individual, at an individual level, these players actually are. Yeah. We take it for granted.
And then you put that together in a team and then you get huge moments. And then communication.
That's what communication matters. And that's our fundamental difference with his claim is that communication is only important at the highest levels of play in proper team play with five competent individuals. If you're not...
You understand real League of Legends.
Yeah, exactly. And you're not going to get there until at least Master Tier. That's the top, 0.04% or whatever it is. Mm. So if you're not there, then communication is negligible. That's the reality.
Not even negligible, a...
Detriment.
Detriment.
A detriment. Straight up detriment. And why is it that all the best competitive players... Who's the best rank one in Korean solo queue? You know, not Jim Bob from, you know, who come over and NA is the best flex queue player. Yeah. It's Chovy, the best fucking mid laner in the world.
Oh, I wonder, season 3, who was rank one Korea, Curtis? Faker.
Faker.
Very interesting. Best player in the world run of all time. He was dominating in solo queue in season 3.
There is no, it is literally the only way. Solo queue is the game.
Remember, I love the Faker example as well, because Faker, his story is he played only normal games, right? Yeah. He got so high in the MMR in normal games that he couldn't get queues, so he had to play ranked. Plays ranked, gets, you know, rank one, gets instantly into, you know, SKT T1, right? His first match, his first competitive match was against
Ambition.
Ambition. Second at Worlds the year before that, and he solo kills him. How is that possible?
How is that possible?
In terms of people's view of Real League of Legends. Because again, he's learnt Real League of Legends from fucking solo queue.
Makes no sense. That would, if following his logic, that would make zero sense. It's
impossible, yeah. Because that means Faker would have had to play the real game of team play. He should have been grinding in team play for 10 years to be able to solo kill someone who just came second at Worlds the year prior.
Think about, I mean, there's many, 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 many examples of that in time. So
that's like literally saying like some college footballer or something like that. Or like someone who's just going to college football, something like that, is going to be able to play in a Super Bowl.
Against Tom Brady.
Yeah. You know, like, and you know, that's...
Makes no sense.
Yeah.
And so there's a complete... And again, these are massive claims coming from someone that is in goal four. That doesn't actually understand. They think they understand. That's the most dangerous thing about this video, by the way. They're masquerading... The entire thing is kind of like from this pedestal, as if like I am the genius here, I am the expert, I'm the one that understands everything. I'm here to tell you and educate you all. This is how it is. There is no like this, the language he's using. There's not even room for nuance. It's not like Soliku could be kind of useful competitive, or you know there is maybe a little bit of a correlation, but maybe not as strong as people think. It is a straight up like. Different game, like the language.
Use the words. This is the truth.
This is the truth. Yeah, it's like it's like I feel shame for like not believing him. It's crazy, like the bold it's, claims
it's
here.
Comical. And again, it's just funny. I always think back. He's OPGG. This guy surrenders twice as much as the average goal player. This guy's like the most toxic league player you could ever think of, and he's talking about this. Like, it's not just coming from some, like, I think we said before the episode, this is the worst video, worst reaction than our Gold 4 case study.
Yeah, this is the worst video we've ever seen.
More delusion.
This is actually, I think, the worst league-related content I have ever seen. Out of every league video I've ever seen. This is legit worse than the 4K Gold case study guy. This is insane levels of, like, delusion. Unbelievable.
In Counter-Strike, however, I can do my premier placements with a 5-stack, play coordinated communicative matches that mirror pretty much exactly how I play in ESEA League, and come out with an 80% win rate. The best you can hope for in League is, like, a static 55 to 60% win rate.
So again, this is going back to, you've been tricked, Mr. Dimitri, thinking 80% win rate is a very good competitive game. If that was the case, you're clearly obviously not versing the same skill level players you are. And that's, again, that's actually just demonstrating the flaws in
the... And that was with 11 wins, by the way.
Oh, wow.
Just keep that in mind. Look at that sample size. That's a very misrepresented... That's not really a large sample size.
The win rate being as is in League is demonstrating how precise the rank system actually is.
Yeah. And also, I hate even using the word win rate. Let's just talk about the underlying skills here. Like, what does win rate even mean? If you're playing with five other players, your skill... I can't comment for Counter-Strike. I'm going to talk about League. If you're playing with a pre-made stack of like four other players or five total, and you know, I don't know how good I am. I don't know. I know how good we are as a five. I know how this specific combination of five players is relative to that specific combination of five players is, but I don't know how good I am individually. No idea. That's it. So win rate, if I get boosted, if I'm playing, I'm the worst player on my team and I play with four other high school mates and they're all better than me and we win all these games and we get some crazy 80% win rate, what does that tell me about my underlying skill set? Tells me fucking nothing. So I don't really know what the point he's trying. He's trying to say that because you can climb with a super high win rate, that makes the game better, makes the game fun.
Again, this is going back to easy is fun.
Easy is fun.
Easy is fun is what we're hearing from this guy quite a bit. Hard is
miserable.
Miserable.
Don't play hard things. Don't do
challenging yourself is what we
waste of time. Why would you do? Why would you do something hard? You know.
Well, he literally says, "Why would anyone put themselves through the solo queue?"
Don't do it. Just do the easy stuff. Just jerk off 24/7.
Let's just sit on the couch right now. Fuck Netflix. It.
What are we doing here? What are we even doing this podcast? It's too hard. I have to use my brain. I have to think.
Oh, it's so bad, Curtis. It really is.
It's really bad.
A static 55 to 60% win rate. And that is if you are measurably better than the players in the rank in which you're situated. Why? Because of all of the external factors that you are susceptible to when you solo queue, like teammates who are bad, teammates who feed, teammates who are rude, teammates, pretty much just teammates. Yeah, that's the issue.
And okay, yeah, you. I don't want you on my the older reason.
Yeah, I pray for your the 140 games he's played total.
Fuck me.
Your teammates that game.
And the teammates, this is the thing, again, he doesn't understand, like, he wants perfect, what does he want? That's why, again, what does he want? He wants to queue up and have four amazing teammates that are not saying a single bad negative thing, and they're all just beautifully communicating and cheering each other up, and you just want four challenger players? You want people that don't make mistakes and don't fuck up and nothing? What do you actually, like, what does it even mean? Your bad teammate. What does bad teammate mean? Like, genuinely. What the fuck does bad teammate mean? It's like, does he make a mistake? Maybe he got traded off because you're full clearing on Talia topside and didn't protect the dive on bot side. Yeah. Maybe that's why he died. Mm. You don't even know what a bad teammate is.
And also in the way of, like, one person can look bad one game and then the next game that person's actually on the other team and, like, popping off or something like that.
He couldn't even give you...
No.
And I don't even know. Mm. I genuinely don't even know what the definition of a bad teammate is. Mm. Give me your definition of a bad teammate. Because everyone...
Show me an example.
Show me an example. Yeah. Show me the game. And this is the thing. This is just him talking in front of a camera. Let's show the goddamn gameplay here.
Let's show me
a game where you believe you had four bad teammates. Let's fucking get in the review.
Curtis, I actually have some stats because we were going to do a topic. I was going to talk about my... the Blitz Live coaching that I've been doing, the end review and stuff on my Twitch stream recently. And I actually did a tally of, because I wanted to just, because they're real games, you know, they're not reviews, like people can nitpick and sort of say, maybe this is my bad team and stuff like that. You know, we're just queuing up on live, on stream, everyone's watching. And I've been doing it for just 2 weeks, right? And I have here, where's my Google Doc? I tracked how many, you know, quote unquote inters or feeders or, you know, stuff that was going to be on each side, each team. And in the last 2 weeks, I've done, quickly change the camera. I've done 73 games on stream. And get these stats, Curtis. 73 games. On our team, we've had two people that were genuinely... Like, you know, the game was really difficult because they just weren't participating. One of them was just like Blitzcrank that just got really angry at his AD carry and just left and started roaming. He was like trolling. Mm-hmm. And then the other one was we actually just had a mid lane that just had DC issues, right? Of 73 games.
Two.
And on the enemy team, there was four total, like, quote unquote, inters or feeders. But two of which we influenced, we made them do right? By good decision making, good fundamentals, everything was on the stream. And then the other two was, there was actually the enemy jungler ruining the game for them.
Right.
Like, we had one today. The Briar came bot, and the Yasuo got a triple kill, like level one.
Sort of bad gank.
Yeah, right? So, and again, it sort of makes sense, like, in a way. You know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't really call that Briar bad or that bad. It's just, yeah, it's just the classic.
They got punished for that's their level of play.
That's the level of play. Exactly. That's why they're in the rank. So, again, total games really impacted. Of 73 games, that's six games.
Nothing.
It's really rare, you know, and again, I really encourage you, if you think, okay, well, those stats are fake, come to my stream and actually go through a whole session.
Let's go through.
And you'll be surprised how much our decision making is affecting the game.
Again, he doesn't understand the game. He is the one losing the game for his team. He is the bad teammate, but he can't understand that.
No.
And the reason that all of this is genuinely so frustrating is because it seems like that's what Riot wants. Like, they know that it is exceedingly more difficult to climb as a solo queuer, and so they force you to do it, so you will have to play hundreds of games a season just to reach a high rank. If Riot were to just remove solo duo queue and meld it together with flex queue, I swear to God, they would solve, like, 80% of the problems that they are currently struggling with. Right now, with this ping crap, they're treating a bullet wound with a band-aid.
Again, we reiterate one more time, they've done the dynamic queue, it failed, everyone hated it. We'll put the links in the description for all the people hating it. The other thing as well is, it's kind of like talking as if Riot are purposefully making the game harder. Yes, you have to have a brutal matchmaking thing to actually differentiate at scale. We are seeing this with Wild Rift.
people hate the competitive integrity because it's too easy. Everyone's getting LP here. You get your LP. In League, imagine if you could get to your rank in just 10 games, 15 games, 20 games. No one would play the goddamn game. I promise you.
It would be a meme.
It would be a meme. Everyone would say, too easy.
Ah, oh, you play League, that's your rank. Ah, oh, that's too easy.
Rank wouldn't actually mean anything.
Yeah, that's right.
Rank goes out the window, right? So again, you've got, like, I don't even know. There is no, it's just so obvious. It's so painstakingly obvious why it has to take hundreds of games. There is no other way.
Treating the symptom, not the cause. Treat the cause, please. Because honestly, and I'm just going to say it, it is unacceptable how toxic and miserable League of Legends ranked has actually become. I mean it. It's not funny anymore. I've been playing MOBAs seriously for the better part of 15 years, and I do not know anyone who continues to grind League of Legends ranked or take it seriously in any way. This game mode has...
Well, we know literally hundreds and thousands of people.
Yep, and people in our programs that love and enjoying the game.
Yep, and the hundreds of thousands of people that watch our guides. There are millions of people. You can look at the average person, yeah, any ladder. They've got multiple games at high. They are taking the game seriously. They play hundreds of games a season.
I mean, not Dimitri's friends, though, because we know who Dimitri's friends are. They're all in the same group with the same mindset. They're old school gamers.
Yes. Yep.
Has become world renowned for creating some of the most toxic players in gaming. And I genuinely think that on some level,
I'll reframe that, the most competitive gamers in gaming.
The most passionate.
Riot should be ashamed that they are allowing it to fester to this degree. Anyway, that's my rant. League ranked sucks hard. Everyone knows it, and they've all given up trying to wrestle with it. And there's a very easy way to make serious headway in fixing it. Stop messing around with pings and just purge solo queue from the face of Summoner's Rift. Why the League community is so opposed to such a solution speaks volumes to how resentful and genuinely traumatized they've become over the suffering they've endured. They're convinced that because they had to literally hate themselves to reach the rank they wanted, we all have to as well. If this type of solution is good enough for virtually every other multiplayer competitive title out there, it's good enough for you guys. It's good enough for League of Legends. So please, give it some thought. Let me know what you think in the comments.
We have given you our thoughts.
Do you want to go to the comments now?
Yep, let's take a look. I think that we've obviously addressed of the points. So let's take a look here. So,
all right, strap yourself in.
Top comment here.
All right, let me read this one out here. We've got this one from Dylan Grove 635. Top comment. Been playing League for over 10 years now. The only reason I like solo duo a little better is getting 5 men stacked against every ranked game is a hellscape in itself. I agree with everything else said about needing better communication. It's just a nightmare being forced to find 4 friends to grind with because ranked is filled with teams. So it's a bit of like a mixed bag, agreeing with some things and not others.
So, yeah. So again, it sounds like a player that would love to play, but just doesn't have the friends.
I wish we were as popular as Dimitri. Dimitri has so many friends. He's so popular. He's so cool. He does. Gosh darn it.
All right. Next one here says, you know what's the best part of all this? People will still call you boosted.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, because we can't tell the difference. You could be fucking boosted. Dimitri could be boosted in every game he played. We have no idea.
Yeah. Yes, and obviously as well is Dimitri also is not an expert at League of Legends.
That's correct.
And shouldn't be talking about real League of Legends when he doesn't know what real League of Legends is. Wouldn't even be able to conceptualize or walk you through what real League of Legends looks like.
And it's like us going, talking about a game. It's us going to Dota, talking about Dota in a sophisticated way and talking about Dota's rank system and shit. Just we've played for 100 games or some shit. We know nothing.
Yeah, doing like
stay in your lane, dude. You're a Counter-Strike dude? Talk about Counter-Strike.
Great comment here. Riot previously tried dynamic queue, but was an absolute disaster. It was somehow worse than current solo queue. Again, not somehow. It makes perfect sense why it was worse than the solo queue.
Yep.
Next comment says 200 likes. I think all of us played League since forever. Remember, dynamic queue will say that getting rid of solo queue is one of the worst things that could happen.
Yep. So it's basically saying getting rid of solo queue is one of the worst things that could happen. Makes sense.
I wanted to play LOL, but kept getting matched with people that were just were so toxic. It made wanting to learn not worth it.
And it's almost as if Riot put in this mute all function. I've never heard of it. I don't know what it does, but you know, it's might be worth, you know, playing around with that function.
Yeah, and you know, it's always funny how people just can't. They know that it exists.
They know it exists, but they can't help themselves.
Yeah, because they're too fragile. They have to know, especially even when they're winning. They have to know when they're getting complimented because they're so insecure about, you know, their decision making and stuff. And they need to know because people need to know what other people are saying about them.
Yeah, it's insecurity. It comes from insecurity. Yeah. Just mute all, dude.
Yeah, that's that one. Solo Joe was enjoyable experience for the most part, especially in high ranks. Now I don't enjoy playing it because 90% of the time I will have toxic teammates and not playing with any one of my friends makes it a sad learning experience. Again, people just talking about toxicity of the game. Again, sort of lack of, you know, respect for the competitive nature of the game, the anonymity of the internet, and also understanding why mistakes happen.
Yep.
Again, you know.
And Riot are doing things at the moment. They do things to... They're working on the thing where if you have to play like 5 normal games or some shit to like play ranked again now. I think there's all that stuff going on. Like Riot are doing things to address this. But by the way, this is so important. You know how the his approach to fixing the toxicity problem is to bring back dynamic queue, right? You know what the real solution... So he says that the pings was a band-aid solution. And I do somewhat agree with that. The true solution is actually to educate the player base that the game is a brutal, hardcore game.
That's what we're doing. That's our job.
That's our job.
That's what we're doing.
We're here to tell you what the game experience really is like. And if this ties into the solo queue contract, if every person in the comment section here were really educated about what the like what solo queue is, what League is truly about, and wrote themselves a solo queue contract... No one would be complaining. In the people that are toxic are only toxic because they have unrealistic expectations and they don't understand how the game actually works.
Spot on.
That is also why in the lower elo brackets, people are actually even more toxic. You actually, the lower you go, the more toxic it is because people are so, they don't understand the game. They don't know what they don't know. They don't understand how the game works. And that's why it feels out of their control. So they're frustrated. They release that frustration to other people around them. Because they're not getting led. They don't know what they're doing to contribute to the game states. Yeah. That is the cause.
And they make videos like this.
That's right.
Make comments like that.
And that's why communication will also lead to more problems because it's the blind leading the blind. Another point as well.
I mean, that's really well said, Curtis. I'm happy to end the podcast there.
Yep.
We won't do mailbag today because I don't think we have time. We've been going for an hour and a half. Yep. Do you want to look at any more comments here?
I think we got across the point. I think this is all...
I hate this. Look at this comment. This is why I love this channel. Always open with the takes.
Oh, I like it. What's this one here? This is something I've been hoping for since they released Valorant. They get comms, pings. You can queue solo it with a team. It's all the same. The argument of you'll just get flamed on comms. Yes, it's a problem with Valorant too, but everyone who wants to actually play the game mutes that player and you move on. Like you lose so many precious milliseconds deciphering what a specific ping means. Isn't that such an interesting... It's like as if you can... So you can mute on Valorant, but you can't mute on League apparently. Isn't that so strange to me? Mm. It's like people just say, oh, if someone's toxic on Valorant, you can just mute. But if someone's toxic on League, you can't mute them for some reason?
Because they can't, yeah.
What the fuck is that? Yeah. It doesn't make any sense. Yeah. Anyway, this is a lot of stuff here. You know, I want to apologize to the BBC audience for having to put you through this nonsense. We feel like we had a responsibility to stand up for the solo queuers of the world and make this video. Anything else?
No, I think that's well said, Curtis. I think, again, we think that this was our responsibility here and this is our job. This is actually why the podcast exists. If League had everyone understood what they were doing, everything was going weird, there's no need for coaches, nothing. There's no need for us to help people fix their relationship with the game.
You know what we should be calling? We're calling ourselves?
What's that?
We're solo queue conservationists.
I love that. Yes, dude, that's so good. I'm going to add that into our intro, Curtis. Welcome to the educational...
We're the solo queue conservationists.
Yeah, welcome to the solo queue...
Welcome to the BBC...
For animals, right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
We're the solo queue because we want to protect solo queue.
Conserve the animals. Conserve solo queue.
Yeah, I want to preserve solo queue. We love solo queue. We don't want to ruin solo queue.
Is that the word?
Conservation.
Conservation. I was thinking conservation.
Yeah, because like protect the environment, you know, like you're a conservationist. We're solo queue conservationists.
That's so good. All right, Curtis. I think that's it for this episode, everyone. We'll see you guys. Who knows what we'll get next week? Maybe another video, maybe a response to this. I don't know. We'll
instead of solo queue must die, the broken my concept must die.
All right, catch you guys next week.